Hi, welcome to the Pretty Little Liars podcast. I'm Marlene King, executive producer of the show.
And I'm Lisa Cochran, producer of Pretty Little Liars.
So we're here to talk about our favorite moments of the last 12 episodes, or actually the last 11 episodes that have brought us up to this, the final big finale. The first episode back after our great summer break, which was Moments Later. Do you remember that one, Lisa?
Written by
Joe Doherty.
Yes. Moments Later, and it's the concept of having her in a hospital room and having the cast on. And for me, it was the eerie sense that somebody could get in and write on her cast. It was the fact that the girls could be sitting there one moment and look down, and the fact that A has been in the room, has able to sign, and to leave a very typical A message.
And I think there was something we did. It was a very subtle set design in that scene that some people may have noticed, some people didn't. We did this intentional sort of chessboard floor, and the last shot is the room, and the girls are moving around like chess pieces on the board, like A is manipulating them in a chess game. So that's a subtle little moment that you may or may not have noticed. For me, in that episode too, and it really is one of my most favorite scenes of this whole last season, is the possible dream, visit of Allison
with
to
Allison.
Hannah.
The way that they treated that, it was, you weren't sure whether it was a dream or whether it was real, and yet the dialogue, as Joe wrote it, Allison was trying to tell her something, and Hannah was actually, it felt like they were having a conversation, like they were almost being able to solve the puzzle.
And Allison, and this is something we're going to play on a lot, actually, for next season, because even though you all haven't gotten a chance to see the finale yet, we're already breaking the stories for season two. And Allison says, I'm going to paraphrase Joe's great writing, but she says in that dreamy sequence, the four of you combine know what happened that night.
Yes, you just
and
have
we
to
haven't really
together.
Had a chance to build upon that theme. So this next year, we're going to reveal some more about what the four individually know.
And also, the really strong moment that Emily had where she gets to tell her father. And I think that for those of us that were there for the production of this episode, watching it at night when it aired, it was, you were no less moved by it when you, even though you knew the scene was coming. It was very powerful. It was very difficult to imagine somebody seeing her father who's been away for a time, but then to welcome him home with information that she was petrified about.
That was, I think, an epic episode for us. And it sort of launched a three-episode arc where we convinced our audience that Noel Kahn must be A. And then we sort of thread that through to the next episode that really took us to our third episode back, episode 113, Know Your Frenemies, when we found out that, oh my God, Noel Kahn isn't A, but A saved Arya and Fitz's relationship, which was really, hence the title, Know Your Frenemies.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you actually think that Ezra is walking down to the principal's office and he's about to walk out of the school and admit everything and walk out. And in the last minute, in the last few feet before the principal's office, Noel gets escorted to his locker. He gets busted. And
the girls get that great text, A is not for amateur.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, you could let your breath out. And Ezra wasn't going to go anywhere at that point. He was going back to his classroom.
That's right. The girls were safe. That's also, that was the episode where A asked Hannah. I wrote that episode, so I know a little bit more about that one in detail than some of the other ones. But that's the episode which was really just so brutal to watch, although my 8-year-old and 6-year-old thought, like, how much fun could one person have eating pig cupcakes all day long? A torturing Hannah with those cupcakes. That's
it was sad. It was sad to watch someone, or Hannah, who you would believe is as strong as a personality and character as anything, who could actually realize what she has to do to help her mother. How she's going to earn money back, how she's going to humiliate herself. I think it was watching her on the sidewalk. These are the moments where we take very strong teenage girls and make them very sad.
And you're right, and that launched sort of this next sort of couple of episodes where what happened was Hannah's mom, if you remember, stole that money from Mrs. Potter, and then A stole it from Hannah, and A used that money to manipulate Hannah for several episodes, and really also Hannah did many things A asked to do because she wanted to keep her mom out of jail as much as she wanted to get that money back. Yeah. She broke poor Lucas's heart at the dance-a-thon, which was devastating. And that, I have to say, I had a couple really favorite moments from that episode, and they all involve Emily being drunk. That was like Emily like playing with the tassel for no reason.
Was that tree always there? Got tweeted
I can get
after
my
the
own
air.
Damn door.
Exactly.
And I'm not thirsty. They're like all good lines.
She actually did a wonderful job, and you sometimes worry about actors or actresses, young ones, portraying drunk is too classic or, you know, textbook drunk.
I promise you, she was sober.
She was definitely sober, but she was fun.
She plays a great drunk, Emily. We might have to, like, get her a flask in another episode.
And that, between that and just tearing your heart out over Lucas.
And then, and that the scene in that episode, too, that I'll always remember is Hannah putting drunk Emily to bed and taking her shoes off and pouring out her heart about what she had done. And then she looks over and Emily is sleeping. But that was just, like, so endearing. And those are, I think, my favorite moments in the show. It's like, there's so many great moments. But the moments that you really remember are the moments where the girls just suck you in and they're just so beautiful to watch.
Well, it feels like they can be vulnerable with in their group, and they don't mind confiding when they've, I mean, let's remember that the beginning of season one is when they came back. They've been apart for a year, but in a very short amount of time, this is all they have is this group, and they're it's a very nice solid group. They can open themselves up to each other,
and it became a theme sort of by accident of A becoming this frenemy. That, you know, A, someone asked me the other day, are you actually giving A a heart? Because A did save Arya and Ezra, and A has done the girls some favors over this past year. But whenever A does something nice to them, then she punishes them. Like, she's very codependent. She's very dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. She, he, shim, however we want to say that. We say she just for purposes because it's easy, but we still have not in any way let our audience know if A is a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl.
I also liked the closer. That, to me, was, for a
what
moment
was the
there,
closer for that
that's
one?
The coat check.
Oh,
where
that was good. Holly Marie Combs, Ella, is face-to-face with A, but she doesn't know
And
it.
She doesn't know that's A.
But what that does tell us, as Holly so cleverly pointed out, that we now know that Ella is not A. Because Ella
that's
was
correct.
Watching A. So that was a great sort of deduction from that
episode.
Okay,
so that's the one clue we can say that if you're knocking off a list, it's not Ella.
It's not Ella. Ella is not A. We can honestly say that.
Correct.
Don't speak French, but I think it's Je suis une amie.
Yes, it is.
Which was written by Brian Holdman, another one of our writers. And what I loved about this episode is it's our really first connection between Spencer and Toby. When Spencer is walking up to the Kavanaugh creep house, as they call it, and it's this very low angle of her looking up, and it looks like it's the Addams Family mansion. It's like it's such a creepy, creepy American Gothic feel, and Toby opens that door just a crack, and we know Jenna's inside. It's like that's a very memorable moment for me.
And we also, for history buffs for PLL, it was the one time we went out on location.
We left the Warner Brothers lot.
Yes, we live in a world that is in a very, very specific bubble here in Rosewood and Stage 6 and 7 at Warner Brothers. So, but this was an opportunity, and we went to the pool, and we got to do some of that gorgeous swimming work, which I thought was fantastic.
With Paige and Emily.
Yes.
It was beautiful. It really was. Opened up our world, and we had a chance to really feel Emily's storyline, because
and
we know she's
I don't know
swimmer,
if everyone realizes this, the girls swam. That was them.
That is Emily. Shay Mitchell worked her tushy off with a swim coach, and that was her form. She was
absolutely.
She was actually better of a swimmer than the person we hired to be her swimmer
double.
So we use Shay instead of the double.
That's correct.
I don't know who that double was, but if you're listening, I'm sorry. Shay was better than you were.
It was a lot of fun. They worked.
She was not happy that we asked her to wear that Speedo, but she forgave us.
And the goggles and the swim cap.
Yeah. But she looked great in it. Who could pull that off? Only Shay Mitchell.
Exactly.
We then sort of worked our way to the badass seat,
right,
which was our sort of tribute to
What about Mrs. Potter's nephew suddenly?
Oh, and Mrs. Potter dying, too.
Yeah.
Poor Mrs. Potter. And I love the closer on that one. That was A, visiting Mrs. Potter's grave.
And dropping elf.
And people still ask, did A kill Mrs. Potter?
Well, you wonder.
You do wonder, don't you?
You do.
One would wonder.
But then when you think...
Oh, and Paige and Emily kissed in that episode.
Oh, that's right.
But that was like the creepy Paige and Emily kiss, as opposed to the really sexy Paige and Emily kiss in 119 when they went to the Hungry Owl for karaoke.
Yes, that's a totally different Paige.
Two very different kisses.
But we thought that Ashley was out of the woods with the money, and then the nephew shows up.
Mrs. Potter dies in 117, The New Normal, written by mm-hmm. Joe Doherty. And her nephew shows up, James Leland. The architect, supposedly, from Syracuse.
And there would be no reason to believe his story otherwise, except for the fact that Caleb, being a little more savvy, was very suspicious of it. So he convinces Hannah, which, you know, there and then, at that point, you figure, okay, now we can circle back and Ashley can be safe again.
And at this point in time in our story, Ashley, the character, so Hannah's mom still doesn't trust Caleb, but it's his first step toward winning the hearts of both of the Marin women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that he's staying in the basement now, unbeknownst to Hannah's mom. He's already moved into the basement.
Is that when he moved in? Yeah,
close.
He did.
Awfully close.
But
he can stay
also
in my basement whenever he wants, by the way. I'm totally fine with that.
I don't have a basement.
I will make a basement for that actor to come and stay at my house.
But here's
we
also,
love Tyler.
New Normal also gave us that really, really, I mean, Pam Fields had the best scene of her season.
She did.
Where she stands up for her daughter.
That was a great PLL moment. That was Nick McCullers to Paige's father, who accused Emily of basically cheating and being favored upon. And what I loved about that was we all know that Pam had such a hard time accepting Emily's sexuality, and she wasn't realizing that Emily was the same daughter that she had always raised her to be. And in that moment, she declared, you know, my daughter is kind and good and wonderful. And we all fell in love with Pam Fields in that moment.
It was fun watching that scene.
And Emily had so much love and respect for her mom. And I know those actors were like, just like so happy to have that day. Because they earned it, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Moving on through the season, the badass seed. Well, this is the first kiss of Hannah and Caleb.
Yes.
This
and
is
the shower scene. Which I think a lot of people became a screensaver. I think that it's become a very, very popular moment in the show. We had the impromptu shower scene between Hannah and Caleb, which really did sort of launch their chemistry. But in that episode, Hannah she saw a naked Caleb, but she was fully dressed, and she was like, oh my God, totally freaked out. And so in that episode, she starts avoiding him, and he doesn't really understand why, and it leads to their first, like, really great kiss, which was like wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And that episode, you know, is the one where the girls turn in the trophy, which they thought had Allison's blood, but turns out it's again A, framing them, which led to one of my favorite closers of, it's definitely my son's favorite closer of the sub of this season, which is the rat cages with Spencer's rat
gone. Which was
kind
of creepy.
It was definitely creepy.
Yeah.
Those are real rats, by the way.
Yes, they were real
rats.
It's
a rat. And then we got to a person of interest, which I wrote.
Wait a minute. Is badass seed? Is that when we first started the Haleb, which is the very first time we started seeing that
Haleb definitely was launched then.
Launched around then.
Arcana, I've seen, but I think Haleb is the name that caught on.
Okay, so the Hannah and Caleb team.
But they really took part. I think people were still a little suspicious of Caleb in that episode because we still didn't. He was a little shady. But it was really 119 mm-hmm. when he went camping. Hannah's mom figures out he's living in the basement. She throws him out. They go camping here in the Warner Brothers back lot, although it looked like they were in the middle of the woods. And Hannah lost her virginity to Caleb, which was a lovely scene. But my favorite scene of their connection was when they were at the campfire. And Hannah, he's like, how does she know how to do all this stuff? She's pitching the tent. He's the city boy.
Exactly.
And he's like scared of his own shadow. And she's like, oh, that's just an owl. That's what owls do when they dive for prey. And he's like, how do you know this, Dora the Explorer? So she reveals to him that she knows how to camp because she went to fat camp. And I just love that moment where he's like, you didn't have to tell me that. And she's like, I want you to know who I am. Then, and he gets very quiet, and he tells her something he said he would never tell anybody, and that's the story of his mother, which was just, like, heartbreaking.
This is also the season's most romantic episode. Everybody had... there's just more dialogue on the internet about this episode and about how fun it was, how romantic it was, how sexy it was. Everybody just had this great, wonderful moment. And
it was a very rewarding episode for us, I think, because we did get to have... Like, there was definitely mystery because Toby and Spencer were staking out room 214, but that's the episode where, you know, they got to play Scrabble, which is totally one of my favorite scenes of the season.
Oh, but the karaoke.
The karaoke's really good, too.
The karaoke was a lot of fun.
Because we weren't expecting that from Paige. I love the look on Emily's face when she rounds the corner. Yes. She's coming back from the bathroom, and there's Paige singing that Pink song, and she's like, what the...
That was a lot of fun.
Paige looked really good in that episode, too.
Yeah.
And then in that episode, Emily got to kiss Paige, and that was, like, a real kiss. And mm-hmm. it sort of launched their connection, and then... Toby and Spencer the next morning, and if you didn't realize it, Spencer is wearing Toby's t-shirt the next morning. I love that, and she wears it the rest of the day. She even wears it home that night, and she wears it like knotted up, and like she looks so cute. I was like, that was such a powerful thing. Like, she left that hotel mm-hmm. room not just with that kiss, but like wearing his t-shirt, and that really launched their
and he said
connection.
I'll be here for another night if you need a place to stay.
We never know if she went back or not. We don't know what happened that next night.
No.
But we love Spencer and Toby, also known now as Spoby, which does kind of sound like a disease, but you know, nobody's topped it, so we'll have to go with that. Spoby for now.
Exactly.
Which then brought us we're ramping up very close to the big finale, which I know everybody is so excited about. We had the episode Someone to Watch Over Me, which was a great episode, the famous slap heard round the world.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the moment of that
and
episode.
And you know, you realize... that no one ever saw her face before without the glasses.
You're right.
So
once in a flashback, once in a flashback.
But it was jarring to me, even
and her
though
eyes,
I know
those piercing
this girl.
Eyes.
She's sitting there or leaning there against the sink, and it just seemed like such a vulnerable. Somebody tweeted that I thought it was perfect. They said it just looked like she wasn't crying out of anger. She was crying out of like remorse. That could she have been sorry about any of the stuff that she's done, you know, as Jenna?
I think we felt for her. I think it was a turning point for the character of Jenna because she did show she was vulnerable in the moment. And look, Hannah should not have slapped Jenna, poor blind Jenna. However, we certainly understand why she did it. And in some ways, Jenna definitely deserved some payback for hiring Caleb. And I think that is a moment that will define... this season, for sure.
And then, but look, give Hannah credit. She walked across the room, picked up the glasses.
And she said,
and gave him.
It's Hannah, in case you didn't know. I love that.
That was so good. It's great.
And then we had Monsters in the End, which was really festival. Mm-hmm.
The Founders Festival.
Thank you.
Yes.
Creepy clowns. Spencer getting locked in the fun house. Defying her parents and running to Toby at the end and kissing him in front of the whole town, which was great mm-hmm. because Toby was still very much sort of is you know, our Boo Radley of the show at that point in time, still a suspect, even though Spencer's the person of interest.
And Emily, you felt bad because Emily was trying to reconnect with Paige in her story, and she really was trying to reconnect and try to show her it's going
to
be okay. Look at, we can...
She's trying to lead
all,
by example, too.
Exactly. And it didn't go that way. Paige is
trying so hard to figure out how to live an authentic life, and Emily's, you know, 9 episodes ahead of her, so she has a little bit of an advantage. But you know, Paige is struggling, and I feel for her, and I think they really care about each other, these two. But it's tough. It's really hard, and I understand why Emily can't go back, but why Paige isn't ready to make the leap forward. Yeah.
And then there's the Ian Spencer, which is the tension between that and who is Ian and what has he done, is just starting to, it's getting more and more. And when you see him try to get Spencer to run away, basically saying, look, it's like run away or get arrested. So you wonder, are the girls completely dead on with Ian? Or is there something else about Ian?
Could be a lot of things about Ian.
Yeah, I know.
That was a great episode. And it's a really great episode to launch us into the finale, which you're about to see. And
It's epic.
I think that's the word that everybody here, the PLLs and our crew and the writers all use. Like, it's the finale reminds me in so many ways of the pilot, in the sense that, well, first of all, it's directed by Leslie Glatter, who directed the pilot. And I'm the writer of the finale, and I was the writer of the pilot. So that was really a full circle moment for us. We wanted to pay off a lot of things that we set up in the pilot, and we spent this whole year dealing with story points. So it was important for us to give some big answers to the audience, and I think we did it in a very big and surprising way.
It's stunning. Our cameraman, Dana Gonzalez, who also is the only other surviving pilot person.
That's right.
Is still with us, and he did an amazing job. It is mysterious. It is
visually stunning. Visually stunning. It looks like a movie. It feels like a movie. There's a sequence in the finale that we pay homage to a very famous Hitchcock film, and we haven't talked about what that film is until now, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's Vertigo. And you'll get it as soon as you see that sequence. You're going to understand it. The name of the episode is For Whom the Bell Tolls, which sounds a little obscure for us, but as soon as that bell starts tolling, you're going to understand what that title means.
And then it's a very short hiatus to June 14th. June 14th is when we'll be back. We're sitting here right now, already working on season 2.
And I know, I talked to the good folks at ABC Family yesterday, and I know on abcfamily.com, while we're having our break, they're going to have a lot of like tidbits, questions, answers. It's not going to be like four months of quiet from us. It's going to be a lot of like juicy, kind of fun spoilers we're going to talk about over the break too. So
it's a big season coming up too. But this, the fact that season 1 has gone by and it's 22 episodes, which I think were fun, were mysterious, but the story's a great story, and we're not finished telling the story.
No, the story, I feel like we sort of finished the beginning. We're at the end of the beginning of the story, but we're still just at the beginning. And it's like chapter 1 of all of Sarah's books combined.
Well, after all, it is still the fall.
Chapter 1. It's still fall in Rosewood. Time moves very slowly, very slowly. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm thrilled to have a chance to like talk about this season with Lisa. Because I just want to say that Lisa Cochran has really been responsible for making PLL like so great for the whole season. I love you, Lisa. It's been a real treat.
All right, Marlene, thank you. It has been. It's a great team. It's a really terrific team, PLL. It's an honor to be on it. We hope to be here for quite a while.
And let's last shout out to the fans. I think what surprised us most about this whole season was, I think we were hoping we would be successful, but the amount of like loyalty and kindness and love our fans have shown to the show and the
writers. Twitter accounts are amazing. It's fantastic. The stuff that's on the Facebook pages, just keep it up. I mean, it really helps inspire the writers. I mean, I see them, they recall a lot of what's written to them. So keep it up. It's going to be a great ride.
Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to watch the finale, the first season finale of Pretty Little Liars, this Monday, March 21st on ABC Family.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.